everyone, and welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by Oorock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of Oorock.
I'm Michael Gray. I am the author of Cat President 2. I'm also the owner of Rover. Her name is Luna in real life, but she plays Rover in Cat President and a brief cameo in Cat President 2.
Uncredited? No, it's your cameo that's uncredited. I think this just came up on Twitter earlier.
The dog was credited, but not me.
Yes, I think you got credit, but not the dog. The dog got credit, but not you.
Wow. Okay.
So we've got a very special episode of the podcast this month. As you might have guessed, Cat President 2, the game we've been talking about forever, is actually finally out. It's on Steam and itch.io, and to celebrate, we are here talking to some of the owners of some of your favorite cat actors from the game. So will everyone else please introduce yourselves?
Hey everyone, I'm Anne, and Mr. Biscuits is played by my cat, Kaylee.
Hi everyone, I'm Rin. I own Cyrus, who plays Queen Fabulosa in the game, and I also did the cover art for the game.
And my name is Abigail, and I own Anzu, who played Fee.Line, and I also appeared as the Doctor in Fee.Line storyline.
Anzu. I've been wondering how that name is pronounced. Anzu. I think I heard it as Anzu in my head.
Yeah, the vet sometimes says Anzu, but it's Anzu. Yeah.
So for those of you listening at home, maybe this is your first time checking out the podcast, or maybe you haven't played Cat President, in which case, shame. So basically what's going on is the characters in our game, they're all represented by actual photographs of real life people and animals, instead of drawings like a lot of visual novels have. So when I talk about these specific cats being in the game, I mean it very, very literally. These cats are models, basically. They are models in this game. So what I was hoping we could do here is I wanted everyone to sort of go around and just tell us a little about the cats, where they came from, how long you've had them, their personalities. And yes, that was a cat pun. Thank you. Oh, this is fun. People never laugh at my jokes on this podcast. This is great.
Oh, that's because I'm too busy thinking up my own jokes and I'm laughing at them.
Oh, I love this already. All right. So I want to get started with Mr. Biscuits, who, if you've played the game, you know, is the corny dad joke telling cat candidate. But who is the real Mr. Biscuits?
So Kaylee, Kaylee is, first of all, not a mister. that's maybe the first thing to talk about, although she has no problem playing the male part. She actually is very proud of her performance in Cat President 2, has been shared widely with my family. So she's been out there, like, pushing it. But she can't, let's see, she came into our lives, strangely enough, when we were living in Florida. And it was after Hurricane Irma, and we lived in Orlando. We had lost power for about a week, and it's in the middle of summer when it's just really muggy and gross. And so at one point, I told my partner, you know, we need to find somewhere with air conditioning. Hey, I know, let's go to the animal shelter. Because they have air conditioning. Now, mind you, I'd been twice before. We had just recently lost our cat and dog, and so we were without pets. So I was in the market, but was not actually planning to get one that day. But yeah, we got there and spent a lot of time just playing with different cats. And we were like, we wanted to get Kaylee. And then there was another cat that we were trying to choose between. And then the volunteer was like, well, you know, it's BOGO at the shelter. And it's also $10 Tuesday.
What?
Wow.
So they're like, you can have two cats for $10. And they were both like, they just come in recently. So, you know, they had to be, quarantined for like a week. And so we're like, oh, cool. By the time that they're ready, we'll be able to, we'll have, you know, we'll have our electricity back and we'll have these cats. It'll be great. Well, it turned out they just hadn't updated the signs and they're like, okay, they're both ready. Here you go. And so we went back home with no electricity and two long-haired cats. We're like, what did we just do? But they're great. And they have been just a joy. And Kaylee is insane, by the way. So, yeah.
You know, I saw the picture you posted on Twitter the other day of you playing Cat President 2. She looks, your poor cat looks very disturbed at seeing herself in the game.
Actually, it was really funny because the second she came up on screen, I swear I squeed. I was just like, oh. Kaylee was like, what was that noise? So it might have been that.
Oh yeah. So you mentioned earlier sharing the game with your family. This is 100% why we put people's cats in the game. It's kind of a word of mouth advertising strategy.
It's a good one.
It worked. Yeah.
Very effective.
All right. So that's Mr. Biscuits, aka Kaylee. And yeah, it's interesting about the gender switch. That is something that happens quite often in this game, and in both these games, as you can imagine. All right, so next up, let's hear about Fee.Line, who you might have guessed by their unusual name is, of course, a robot cat. So let's learn a little more about Fee.Line.
This is going to be a real shocker, but my cat Anzu portrays Fee.Line, and he is not a robot in real life. So, I know, it's shocking. I got Anzu 3 years ago, and I just moved into an apartment with my brother, and I was like, you know what, I need a cat. So I went and I was just going to look, and then I came home with a cat, unprepared. I didn't even have a litter box or food or anything. So I took poor little Anzu to Walmart with me in his box. And he's definitely a mama's boy. And he's part Maine Coon, so he's got a lot of fluff, which is a problem with, you know, like hardwood floors, because it's a constant battle I'm waging between the fur and the clean floor, and the fur wins all the time. But I got him from an animal shelter. I just picked him up. He was just really quiet and really floofy. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, he's the only floofy kitty there. I have to get him. Aww. I know. And he's really sweet. He's definitely not very robotic. And so it was interesting seeing Anzu. And I was like, oh my gosh, this isn't him. This is more like my other cat. But I was still just like, oh my gosh. And definitely have like been telling my family, like, oh my gosh, look, it's Anzu. Here's another screenshot of Anzu. Like, come on, get the picture, guys. Come on, buy the game. Constantly, I'm like berating the family chat, like, oh my gosh, look at this.
See, it works. My strategy works. No. I remember too, it was like right around when we announced that we were starting to work on the game, you immediately like sent me a Facebook album full of pictures of Anzu. It's like, I gotta get this cat in the game.
Anzu for president. That's what I had a hashtag with it and everything. I was mostly excited. I was like, oh my gosh, I can show pictures of my cat. I think I tried to put him in a little tuxedo and he hated it. And I don't think those pictures turned out really well. But I was like, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, oh my gosh. So exciting.
Oh, it was extremely helpful. And I will say, one of the reasons I cast Anzu as Fee.Line, well, one, because I thought that picture with where he's given kind of the side eye was just perfect. But I was also thinking of all the people that submitted pictures, I felt like you probably would not mind me turning your cat into a robot. I thought other people might have issues with that, but you know, I've known you for a few years and I thought maybe you would be okay with it.
Oh, absolutely. I remember seeing your message. You're like, Anzu into a robot. I was like, oh my gosh, yes! Making a robot boy.
I was just going to point out, it's an interesting similarity. You said your cat was a Maine Coon, so isn't that the same? Banders is also a Maine Coon, correct?
Yeah, both Banders and Thunderpaw. Yeah,
and so is Kaylee.
Really?
What? Why did you cast?
Wow,
you've got a type.
They're just extremely photogenic cats.
They really are.
Well, that was the thing with Kaylee, with Mr. Viscuits too. That was something that came up in casting, was that I was just like sending an idea to Michael, like, hey, what if one of the cats has glasses? That would look kind of cool, right? And you're like, you would just happen to be like the person who had sent me a picture most recently. So I was testing it in Photoshop. I'm like, I wonder if this would be an, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. It has to be yes. And this specific cat, it has to be this cat.
Yeah, I feel like I should point out that Kaylee does not actually wear glasses in real life. So that's another.
It's actually. It's weird to me now. There are a couple scenes where Kaylee / Mr. Biscuits loses the glasses, yes! And the picture actually looks weird to me now because
it
I'm
looks
so
weird
used
to me. And I'm like, what is this?
All right, so Rin, tell us about Queen Fabulosa.
Okay, well, aka Cyrus. He also had a bit of the gender switch, but you know what? He played it great. I loved seeing his cameo in there, and he would definitely want to be in the spotlight just like Queen Fabulosa. That's kind of his shtick. We got him 5 years ago, right after my 18-year-old cat passed away. I kind of applied on a whim to a pet finder thing through a local rescue. And they're like, hey, why don't you come and meet him? So I went and meet him, fell instantly in love, and he's been my gutter child ever since. Because he was found in a gutter when he was, like, I think 11 days old. So he's been spoiled since, like, literally birth. So he's my brat. He's super smart. If you ever want to do a follow-up, he would be the perfect evil genius. So just putting it out there.
Yeah, I always love seeing the pictures on your feed of Cyrus getting into your crafts, basically, and causing and causing trouble with them and sleeping on them and things like that. I really.
We've had to put child locks on everything because he learned how to open doors.
Wow.
He knows. Yeah. He's really smart. We're actually thinking about getting one of those like communication boards with the buttons because I think he would actually be able to let out some of his frustrations with us. A lot of the time, what he wants is treats, but sometimes there are other things. So,
Anne, was it you? Was it you? Someone on my Facebook feed was just talking about something like that they got for their dog. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, and also partly for Kaylee because she's also really smart. I don't know. Apparently, you just had a really good like range of cats that you picked, and they're all the same. They're all very similar.
I'm very surprised to hear all these stories about how straightforward it was to pick up cats from the shelter. So before we got Cedric, which we did get from a breeder, and I feel like probably a lot of people in this podcast would like to throw stones at me for doing that. And yes, I do feel bad. But we did that after going to multiple rescues and applying and getting on wait lists, and there was just. It was not moving. Like you could not get a dog anywhere in Ithaca and anywhere in New York, basically. Like it was wild. And we got like a mean response to one of the emails because we got on a list and we're like, we'd hope we were liking to get something in the next few months if possible. And they're like, no, you're not getting anything within like the next year. So I'm, I don't know. Maybe I need to get a cat. I don't know. Maybe the wait list is different with cats.
You should definitely get a cat. You should get two cats.
Two cats? Yes. They'll outnumber the dog.
Two cats.
But Cedric would rule them. He'd be like the super big brother.
Oh, Cedric is such a pushover, though. whenever we take him to the dog park in the pre-COVID era, like he's this big beefy dog, and he's still the one, like as soon as he gets into a play fight, he immediately like rolls over on his back and is totally submissive. Like he'll be like getting attacked by like a little like dachshund or a chihuahua, and he'd be like, no, don't hurt me.
But see, that's perfect experience for living with a cat. The cats will keep him in line, and he already knows. He just rolls over.
Yep.
See, Michael mentioned that his dog, Rover, has been in the games. And of course, my pup, Cedric, also plays a couple roles. He is Don, the guidance counselor that you meet in the very first scene. And then, yeah. That was fun. So I think, Michael, you did not intend for that character to be a dog, if I'm not mistaken. I don't think that was in the script.
I don't know. I'll have to check the original script. I don't think I intended it for be a dog, but the way I wrote the script is for pretty much all the characters. I left it open whether they were cats or humans, unless a character specifically had to be a cat.
Right.
I think that's how I did it. I don't know. I'll check.
No, I think you're right. And I think I just sort of claimed that role like a medium, like, yep, dog's the counselor. Makes sense. But then also Cedric, when he was a puppy, I took lots of pictures of him as a puppy because of course I did. And so his puppy form appears as a host on a talk show in the Mew.
So that would be an example of a bunch of characters where I had no idea if they would be humans or cats or not. And I think you took over cause you're the one who's actually watched the View and, you heavily edited the characters in that section.
I did. Yeah, I think a lot of the stuff like where the humans like they talk about how they all have to share a litter box backstage, including the human. But, yeah, I think I added that line. Just, yeah, and that was the thing too is Cedric's name was ultimately Nugget. The original placeholder was Sunny. I ended up having to change that though when it turned out there was actually a host of The View called Sunny.
I didn't think that
was super appropriate. Let's see what other questions. Yeah. So how does everyone feel about how their cats are portrayed in the game? I think we talked about this a little already, but does anyone think their personalities either like line up really well with the characters or don't line up like even a little bit? Anything along those lines?
So Anzu is totally a pushover. He is the Omega cat. So I couldn't even imagine him running for president. But then also like, it's really weird because you have Feet Out Line and then there's also Hugh.Man. And I'm just like what if that really was real? Because I'm like imagining all like the embarrassing things I've done in front of Anzu or the times that Anzu just kind of walks in the toilet. And I'm just like, all right. Then, of course, if you get the good ending, that's also weird because I'm playing as me. And then it's just like, yes, I have fallen in love with my cat. Like in love. And I'm like, oh! Well, I do love my cat and I do give him kisses, but not that type.
I sort of had the same reaction where I was playing the Mr. Biscuits line and I got to the end and I'm like, I'm a little uncomfortable about this.
I guess I probably should have thought about that, huh? Yep.
I'm like, of course I'm going to pick Anzu's line, but I'm also like, I don't think I'd really date him. He's like my baby, not like my baby.
Yes. Well, and it got really confusing for me because I named myself Anne, of course, but then Mr. Biscuits has a kitten that you get to name, and so of course I named the kitten Kaylee. And so then it was very confusing at the end.
Oh, man. Yeah, that came up in one of the reviews of the game, too, that they said they didn't know the romance element at all coming into the game, which, in my defense, I tried really hard this time to make it a little more apparent in the Steam store page. I think it kind of snuck up on people in the first game. So this one, I was like, I put it as like a bullet point. It was like, romance a cat, but not in a gross way. Like, yes. So I try. But that was the review. They were like, I chose Earl Grey because it reminded me of my childhood cat. And then it got really weird. Yeah. So Rin, how does Cyrus? Yeah. I think we talked about it a little. How does Cyrus?
Yeah. He's up with, definitely one for the spotlight. Unfortunately, he is an unromanceable NPC because Queen Fabulosa has her own, well, no spoilers. But there is some romance in her line, so, you know.
That's true.
She's like a one-chapter character. I feel sorry for that. They talk about her in like three chapters, but then she only shows up for the one, correct?
I think she makes a couple of cameos, but they
Her. Maybe she does appear. So, yeah. I know at the for the good ending of every pathway, I try to at least address every single character who showed up in that pathway.
Yeah,
but I didn't bother with the normal ending or the bad ending.
Yeah, so Cyrus would kind of be more in line for Nace, like mentality-wise, who is Kaleidoscope's kind of evil manager. So again, evil genius all the way. So yeah,
we need to invite her on the podcast.
the stock art model.
Yes.
Yeah, we need to invite all the stock art models.
Yeah, guy with skateboard.
Yeah.
Guy with skateboard's a classic. He's been in both games so far.
I mean, I purposely wrote him into the second game because I remembered him from the first game.
Let's see. In general, does anyone have any weird stories, fun stories about living with these cats over the last several years? Anything like that?
Cats are totally normal to live with. You should try it.
Yes, I wouldn't know, and I don't think Michael
would
either.
You should definitely try it. So you can't have just one. I mean, you can. But
is it bad that we've made two games now that are specifically about cats, and neither of us owns a cat? Is that wrong? That's probably not good.
It's just wish fulfillment until you can, right?
That's yeah. Yes. Definitely. And also, if you had a cat, you would understand that you don't own the cat.
Yeah.
The cat kind of owns you.
There's just, cats just have their own like personality, and there's just this thing that's like, oh, that's just a cat thing. And you just kind of have to know, you know?
Yeah, we had cats growing up. Well, I think when I was very little, we had a pair of stray cats called Softy and Stranger. I think their names were little white cats. I think Softy got a shout out in the first game. We referenced like a legal case, and I made Softy the defendant in the case. And then we had Princess Leia when I was in middle school. She was a nice cat too. Very, very fluffy. Did not like me very much. Liked to hide under tables. Did not spend much time with me, but I liked her.
Cats, yeah, love to hide. When I first got Anzu, like the day I got him, I had work that day, and I had to leave to go to work, and I didn't know where he was because he spent like 6 hours hiding under like the bathroom cabinet. I didn't even know how he got under there. There's like this tiny little gap. And so like my phone had like all these recordings on it because I'm just like trying to see him under there and trying to coax him out. And I felt so horrible. And that was like my first day with Anzu was like, he's been stuck under there for 6 hours and I don't know how to get him out. And oh, well.
Oh, poor kitty. I guess he did eventually get out.
It was his choice. He could get in and out as much as he wanted until I put cardboard up and blocked everything off because I'm like, no, I want to hold you. You're my new kitty.
Yeah, see, that's the nice thing about Cedric is that if I want to cuddle, he's like always down. Like it is not an issue. I'm like, I just like sit on the floor and Cedric's like already there. Like I turn around and he's next to me already.
There are cats like that.
Yeah. Yeah, my sister has four that are like that. Oh. But none of our cats like to cuddle. So
So yeah, speaking of leaving cats at home, of being around cats, how's everyone cats been dealing with the pandemic?
Sometimes meows at the door like, leave! Why are you still home? Go away! That's what I think he's doing. Otherwise, I'm like, why are you just meowing at the door?
So I'm a professor and I'm teaching remotely this semester. And all of my students know all of my pets and they're just unofficial TAs because they're constantly walking through the screen or, you know, like walking across the keyboard or rubbing against the microphone or climbing up me during like I've had so many classes where I'm just like holding a cat and, you know, they're just used to it now. So I think they like it.
I'm so jealous. None of my professors, like, there'll be a dog barking in the background. I'm like, show the dog. And they don't show the dog. I'm like, why does no one have their pets around here?
Oh. We actually, I have a fairly long class. I probably shouldn't be saying this publicly, but whatever. And there was one day where we are all just feeling it. It's middle of semester. We're all tired. We've been doing the pandemic for 6 months. And so we just spent 10 to 15 minutes of everybody showing off their animals. And it was amazing.
That sounds like the best class ever. Yeah, for me, it wasn't really all that different because I've been telecommuting for a year. So the only difference is that I don't go out for my weekly meetings with my team. You know, Cyrus will come and photobomb our Zoom calls. But for the most part, life is pretty much the same as it was before. So he does like to help with like other things, but work-wise, it hasn't really changed.
When I'm in like a Zoom class, I'm trying to pay attention to like a really boring topic. And then out of the corner of my eyes, I see Anzu and then my other cat. They're just like, you know, doing the whole Mufasa scene and Anzu's scar, of course. And then they're like wrestling and I'm just trying to pay attention. And it's just like madness happening off to the side. And I'm just like, ugh.
Gonna be honest, that is a strong pitch for having multiple cats. That sounds like a lot of fun.
That's why you need multiple cats. You got to get two cats because just the interactions between them is the best thing.
Yeah. Well, another thing to consider too, if you are thinking about getting cats, is if you get kittens, a lot of shelters and rescues will not let you just take one. They'll want you to take at least two.
Oh, really?
Just so that the kittens have, you know, playmates of the same age, mm-hmm. so they grow up and have companions. So.
Well, listen, if I have to take two, then I have to take two.
FYI. You know? Yep.
It's a sacrifice you have to make. Yeah.
And kittens are easier to get them used to a dog. So,
Yeah. Well, that was something I learned raising Cedric from a puppy, too, is that the things they learn when they're young like that, I mean, that's sort of what becomes normal to them. So I spent a lot of time hugging that dog, believe me. I put in the time.
Love it.
This is what life is, Cedric. Get used to it. You're going to be hugged and played with a lot. I hope you're okay with that. Turns out he is. So I think good. A few of you have mentioned other cats, other animals. What other kinds of pets does everyone have?
Well, I have two other cats. They're both long hair. Cyrus is the only short hair. I can't remember the blend that my mom's cat is. She's like a silky black and white cat. And then my dad's cat is actually like a Norwegian forest cat mutt. So it's about on par with the Maine Coon Floof. Mm-hmm. He's magnificent. Super sweet and super scaredy cat.
So we got Kaylee and Zoe at the same time. One of the weird stories about Kaylee was that the shelter told us that she was 3 years old. And I distinctly remember them saying like, oh, it's so lucky you found a adult cat that's on the smaller side. Cause she was about 7 pounds. She has doubled in size because it turned out she was actually a kitten, but being a large breed, she looked like an adult cat as a kitten. And yeah, she's ginormous now. So Zoe is also a huge floof, but still smaller. And then we've got Sam, who's the dog, which for the record, the way to get a dog from a rescue is to be a foster, because then you get a chance to get to know the different dogs and find out. I mean, you're also helping, but it's a nice way to find a dog that fits your family really well.
Yeah, I remember following your Twitter when you were in the fostering process and just pushing so hard, like, you have to get this dog. It's, I don't know, just this senior goal. How old is Sam?
He's 9.
Such a good old boy.
He is. Well, he thinks he's a puppy, but he tries real hard.
I've noticed that about Goldens. It seems like they hit an age like 3, and then that just seems to be like, this is what I am for the rest of my life. I don't get old. I just act like this forever.
Yes, that is. Having fostered, I think we fostered 6 or 7 Goldens. And
oh, wow.
They're all, it does not matter the age. But we wanted a dog that got along really well with the cats, because the cats were here first, and Sam is so good with them. So,
that's good to hear.
Yeah.
I've got one other cat besides Anzu, and she's honestly the more interesting of my cats. I got her just in January because the her former family, they couldn't keep her anymore because she kept attacking their four-year-old. And so they're like, we're scared that she's going to be put down if we give her back to a shelter because we can't keep her because, you know, we can't have a cat attacking our kids. And I was like, I'll take her. And anyways, she is a, you're going to have to censor this. She is a and 100%
I think I do her, like, to censor this.
She wants to be held all the time, but then she also doesn't want me to touch her, and so she like bats and she's like, no, don't touch me, but I'm definitely gonna be laying on you. Her name is Vin, and at first Anzu was very uncertain about her, and I have videos of him just looking at me like, mom, and she's just like, ah, growling. And I take her to the vet and they're just like, we weighed her in her crate because we couldn't take her out because she was biting us. And I'm like, did she get her shots at least? Yeah, in March, was it March? Or it was May or March. I don't remember. They both start with an M. Anyways, she got attacked by a coyote and I thought she died for about 4 hours. And then she just came back with very minimal injuries. Oh. So anyways, she is literally like, she, everyone's like, she's still a kitten. I'm like, she's full grown. She is this tiny, scrawny thing. But she's been a really great to have because before then, Anzu was kind of had some separation anxiety because I got him, just him, because I couldn't. I was like, I don't want to pay for two cats. I just want one cat. And I got him as a kitten. And so he definitely had some separation anxiety. But now that he has been, they just run and play all day. And so it's really fun to watch them play. And I really wouldn't trade her for the world, even though she is a interesting cat. But it's just, it's great having both of them.
Yeah, see, this is a real roller coaster because at the beginning of the story, you were describing the cat as a murderous psychopath. And I'm like, oh, I don't know that I want cats anymore. But by the end, I kind of turned back around.
I mean, she's a really weird cat. She's like definitely bipolar and very much a cat. And she's the one who's constantly, like, she just went into my cleaning supplies closet, like my cabinet under the sink, probably to get high on bleach or something. I don't know. She just like, I need to baby proof my apartment. But it's nice having cats because it's always interesting. There's always something new. They have very distinct personalities.
Yes.
And you just got to go with it.
And I mean, they are kind of little sociopathic murderers, but for the most part, it's things that aren't human. So it's fine.
I don't know. I'm very concerned. So Michael, I know you have, I haven't really given you much of a chance to talk. I know you have Luna, who, as we said, has played Rover in now multiple games. Would you like to talk about Luna a little bit?
Oh, is my mic working again?
Oh, was it not working? Oh, no.
It wasn't. I was, I wanted to talk during the part about the pets going outside. I mean, due to the current world state.
Oh, yeah, please.
So, basically, the middle schooler is now, doing virtual school. And so the dog's life has really changed because the middle schooler wants the dog in the room with her all the time now. So the dog really just wants to be a lap dog and sit on my lap all day long. I also noticed that seems to be the way I am with cats, too. With both of the cats I had to be with for extended periods of time, they're just fine, like, coming up to me and going next to me as long as I ignore them. But that I don't know if that was just the personality of the cat or just me, but the one cat, gosh, Scooby, it's its name. Scooby's not alive anymore. Scooby died recently during the Oregon wildfire stuff. That was basically the dust in the air basically caused him to have an asthma attack and die. But Scooby's owner was surprised that I'm able to pick up Scooby or touch Scooby even, because whenever somebody is within like 15 to 20 feet of the cat runs away and hides under the bed. Even if the person's in a completely separate room, the cat will hide underneath the bed. And the cat always wanted to be in a room with the door closed if it was around somebody it didn't know.
Trying to remember, I know Scooby does make an appearance as one of our background kitties. I'm trying to remember, there is one scene, there's a hotel room that the characters just stay at overnight, and I did Photoshop a cat hiding under the bed randomly. I'm trying to remember if that was Scooby or not. Yeah, the cat, like, it's not a cat that you came with or anything, it's just a cat that's just kind of hanging out.
I'd be like walking into a hotel room. There's a person hiding you under your bed.
Yeah, that was, I mentioned this on the podcast before. That was something I really made an effort to do more in this game is include cats in more active roles in as many background scenes as I could. Like in the previous game, the way I would use people's cat pictures is as the characters, but also as like portraits hanging on walls, basically. Mostly when I needed to cover up like a copywritten piece of art that was on the wall that I could not put in the game, I would put a portrait of a cat there instead. But I tried to really include them like active in scenes too. So you see like a cat hiding under a bed. There's like a scene outside a convention center and there's people milling about and there's just cats milling about too. Things like that. There's like a scene in an airport waiting room and there's people and then there's two cats just sitting in a chair calmly waiting for their flight to take off. Something I had a lot of fun with in this game.
I was enjoying all of the puns in one of the airport scenes. In Mr. Biscuit's line, by the way.
Thank you. you're
like the canine gate and the muse instead of the news.
Thank you. Oh, I'm so happy you noticed this. I never know if people notice that stuff or not. Because I really like, I spend, like, it drives me, it really bothers me when reviews say, like, in these, they talk about, like, the lazy or quick backgrounds. I'm like, you have no idea how much time I spent photoshopping stupid jokes into these backgrounds. So thank you for noticing that.
Well, and it's interesting because I played Banders after Mr. Biscuits, and Banders also has an airport scene, and I'm like, there's no writing. Where are the jokes?
I'm trying to remember, because there's like a definite difference, like from when I start working on the game to when I stop, when I'm at the end of game development.
Yes.
I think it's, what is it, the Earl Grey one? Like he has probably way too many chapters that take place in the same background because I was tired of at that point of coming up with new backgrounds. So he spends a lot of time in his office and sometimes new stuff shows up in the office. Like he gets mail delivered. So there's giant sacks of mail. And then later I photoshopped a hang in there poster, but it's a person hanging on a tree.
Oh my gosh. I haven't played all the lines yet, but that I'm going to keep an eye out for that because that's amazing.
Thank you. So yeah, there's nothing lazy about this game. We put a lot of work into making it look this lazy. let's see. If we don't mind shifting gears for a little bit, Rin, you mentioned in your introduction doing the art for the cat that appears on, it's on our title screen, our box art. I ended up using that picture in a lot of different places, actually, because I liked it so much. I think
I'm so glad.
I think the kitty's face is like the little icon when you have the game open. It's like the icon for the window too. Yeah. Yep. I love that picture so much. I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about your process for drawing that picture or other art in general.
So when you asked me, I was really excited because, you know, Cat President 1 was so much fun. I was like, okay, it's a really big year. You know, last time it was 2016 and wasn't that a wild roller coaster? In 2020, how do you encapsulate 2020 in, you know, a cat form? And then I thought about it. It's like there's a meme cat who's perfect for this. And it's the... I can't remember the guy's name, but the voiceover for, hey, Ma, there's a...
Oh, my gosh!
Weird-looking cat out here.
Ma, there's a weird f***ing straight cat outside. It looks like Grandma the f***ing.
I don't know if you can link that, but it's hilarious. It's one of the memes that I've gone back to multiple times this year just to give me a little chuckle and help me see through the dark times. That cat's seen some things, so I really kind of wanted to encapsulate that like wall-eyed look. It's been a rough year, but he's still hanging in there. It's Cat President 2. Things are going to be great.
So. Oh, that's so perfect.
I was wondering because like I saw the art, I'm like, what is this cat? Now that you say it, I'm like, oh my god, I can totally see it. It's perfect.
He's like the perfect cat for 2020. Oh. I just love him.
And it really was like a huge upgrade for our title screen too. We did like 20 minutes on a podcast a few months ago where Michael and I were talking about like, what can we do? Our old title screen like doesn't look that great. Like, is there something we can do to actually? And yeah, your art just, it really like, I don't want to say brightens because it is a very funny looking cat, but it really does. Yeah, it really does encapsulate the year and the election and and so much of this moment in time. So I thank you so much for contributing that, for doing that for us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Of course. And I think I saw that you, I don't know if you did it with this, but you stream art online sometimes. Is that correct?
I do, yeah. So I did actually stream with this one. Yeah, so a lot of the times what I try to do is I will hop on for an hour or so just to, you know, warm up, do some fun little doodles. Sometimes people will join me and I'll ask for prompts and that kind of thing. But for this one in particular, I had told some of my friends, hey guys, I'm going to draw 2020 in cat form. So I had about three people who were like, oh, I need to see this. So we all watched the meme video and had a good chuckle. And yeah, everyone got to see me sketch out this world-weary cat who has seen some things. He's had some mats, you know, he's had some really bad hairballs this year, but yeah, we all sat together and sketched it out. They got to see how many layers of texture I put on there. So there's like fur texture, there's a little bit of grit texture in there, just to give him, you know, the 2020 treatment.
I noticed that before, because you've done art for us a few times. You did the title screen for The Beard in the Mirror. You contributed pixel art to that game. Yep. I'm always surprised by the sheer number of layers. So I'm like, I've tried to get better about doing that myself, because I've realized, oh, it makes it a lot easier if things are on different layers and you can edit things individually and turn them on and off. Yeah. Oh, this actually is smart. Oh, got it. Oh, so thank you for teaching me that in a way.
Yeah, so like I've been drawing for years and years, but like this is the first year I learned about clipping masks, which is something you'd think you'd learn early on, but you don't. But
what
it's really
clipping
helped,
masks?
You know, give that extra help. Oh, you have to join me for a stream and I'll show you.
Oh, I do.
you have one layer, so like A or layer B. You'll have maybe like a cat face. And then if you make a clipping mask on top of it, anything you do on that layer C will only show up where there's stuff on layer B. So it's like laying on top of it, but it only shows up.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It's awesome. It's really good for like interior texture. So yeah, that's how I did the bow tie. So that's like a texture that's laid over, but it's a clipping mask.
Where can people watch you stream?
So I'm on Picarto, which is Picarto, and the username is Sir Lady Sketch. Right now, I haven't been streaming as much because I've been hit with a bunch of zine deadlines, but I'm hoping to pick it up a little more as stuff starts to kind of wind down a little, and I have a little more time to do more illustration. So yeah, basically just Google Sir Lady Sketch, and you can find me anywhere.
Turning now to Abigail, as you had mentioned earlier, you also played a role in the game as the doctor.
Yes.
in the fee.line pathway, which is very appropriate. I remember I was very excited to contact you when I realized we needed a doctor, because I had just seen a picture of you online wearing a lab coat. And I'm like, oh, yeah. Perfect. Oh. Yeah, so tell me a little about your photo session. What went into bringing this character to life?
Well, multiple photo sessions, because my camera was really crappy and I had to use my brother's phone camera. I was all phone camera, but I was just like, it was like my brother. I'm like, hey, I need to take a picture for Paul Franzen. He's like, okay, because he's not on social media like ever now, because he's just watching YouTube videos, but he was Stefano Wozdiohaz de Hizdig, who was big in the game Colasina 5 years ago or something. I don't remember. Anyways, so he's like, yeah. And so we tried, and it was just like I kind of like had an outfit, and I was just like my lab coat and some pens in my lab coat and try to get a neutral background. And it was a lot of fun. And he was the one who was like, you should have the skull cup. And I was like, we don't need the skull cup. Anyways, he was the one who persuaded me to use the skull cup. And I was so happy it showed up. Although my aunt commented on my Facebook profile pic, is that some of my homemade salsa? I'm like, it's a skull cup. You never made any salsa. It's like, it's apple juice to like make it show up. But okay. Yeah, we just did a lot of pictures, and I had a Google Drive that I just kept emailing Paul. And I'm like, how about these ones? Do these ones look good yet?
It's true. I was picky. It was me. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I felt bad. I was kind of moving at the time. And so I was just,
oh yeah, sure.
Things are crazy. You don't have to. I'm like, no, I am going to be this doctor. It's the last thing I do.
Yeah, really. So I want to ask both you and Michael and anyone else who played the pathway. So there is definitely a point where your character brings out the skull mug and they're talking about the test results. And then I definitely have a shot of your character drinking from the skull mug with like a little sippy straw sound. So my question is, because I don't actually know the answer. Do you guys think that mug has the test results in it? Or is it just a coincidence that it comes out at that time?
I didn't think about that. I was just like, hey, the skull mug.
I do not remember that being there when I play tested the game.
Oh, it might not have been in the game yet. Oh, that's funny.
That's right. When I first played the game, you had the stock art doctor, and I said, this looks terrible. And you're like, no, I've got the real photos coming up. So I didn't actually get a chance to see the real photos.
Oh, Michael. Oh, Michael.
They're fabulous.
It came out really, really well.
I don't play my own games. What? Why would I do that?
It's come up multiple times where Michael will be streaming a game, one of our games online, and he'll see something. Oh, I didn't know that was in there. That's weird. I guess Paul did that. All right. And so, Anne, I did not press you into additional service on this game. I did want to ask you, though, you are a fellow game developer. Is that correct?
Sort of. I did work in the game industry before becoming a professor, and I still make games, if you can call them games, depending on who you ask. They might be games. Oh.
Well, that was what I wanted to ask you about. I believe, and you can correct me if I'm wrong about this, but I think we met at least briefly at Sam Arcade back in the day.
Oh my gosh! Yes. Okay.
Where you were showing off Luminary, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, look at your memory.
I might have been looking at your website earlier today to remind myself.
Okay.
But I want to hear about Luminary. Can you tell us a little about it?
Luminary came about because I play a lot of role-playing games, tabletop and computer, and one of the things I've noticed is that for the most part, the stories you hear players talk about are the stories of things that happened to them in the game or things that they did, as opposed to necessarily the storyline, which I am now realizing is a weird thing to start talking about to a designer who makes visual novels, but be that as it may. But then, like, the games themselves don't tend to track that in any way, and it's up to the players to remember them. And so Luminary was created, admittedly, partly because I'm a crafter, but I wanted a way to have a tangible record of a player's choices or their story through a game. And I should probably explain what Luminary is, because other people have not looked at the website. It is a interactive narrative written in Twine, because I love puns, and the controller for the game...
I didn't even think of that. Sorry.
It was a conscious decision.
It's really good. Sorry.
Thank you. Now you understand why I like, you know, I was getting your puns, because I do it too. So the controller for the game... So the game is on a computer, but you control it by weaving on a loom. And so every time you make a choice, you're actually weaving a yarn into what will be a scarf when you're done. And so your choices are literally woven into the fabric of this scarf. And the idea is that everybody would have a different scarf when they were done playing, and you could compare and make notes and stuff like that. So that is Luminary.
Very cool.
It's really, really cool. Is there a way other people can play it, or is this more of something you play in like a convention setting, like Sam Arcade?
So it requires a loom, but we do have all of the instructions on how to build it yourself.
Really?
And it will work with any Twine game. So I just need to make one for Cat President too.
It's even cooler than I thought it was. Yeah, because I don't think I actually got a chance to play it at the convention. It was a wild time, but I remember like seeing it in the brochure, and like I think I saw you in the corner of my eye demoing. I'm like, wait, what is going on over there? Wait.
Yeah, that was really fun.
Yeah, I think you might have been near the game where you hug a teddy bear to jump too. I think that was over there.
Yes.
Oh gosh.
That's where all the good games are.
Do you find, because I definitely do. Do you still brag that you showed off a game in the Smithsonian?
Yes. That is heavily featured in everything, like my biography.
Yes. Yes. Thing. Oh, I've done, so good.
Yeah. It's basically the only thing I can brag about. So I'm like, I was at the Smithsonian with my game. In all bold and caps.
Yes. All right. We're starting to run out of time, sadly. So I'm just going to do one more quick question for everyone. I was wondering if anyone has either a favorite game that has cats in it besides our games, although it would be nice if you said our games, but I do not know. if anyone has a favorite game that has cats in it, or conversely, favorite cat in a game, either way.
Oh man, that's a hard question. I think for me, I'm going to go old school. Chrono Trigger, there is an ending where your mom runs off into a time portal and she's like covered in cats. That's what sticks out to me the most right now.
I like the cat from Persona 5. Just, I remember I was watching my brother play it because I'm not hand-eye coordinated, so I got my video game kicks from him. But like with Cat President, I can play it myself, and so that's my favorite game I've played with the cat.
Yes.
So, but I was watching it, and like the cat, the personality of Morgan, I think Morgana, something, I don't remember, from Persona 5. Oh, random, but there is an enemy in Persona 5 called Anzu, which is actually, my cat's not named after the enemy, but my cat is named after the mythical creature that enemy portrays.
Interesting.
So, anyways.
I play Animal Crossing, and there's a bunch of cats, and they're cute. I won't even, like, I love them all. Can I talk about my favorite game that I play with my cat?
Oh, absolutely you can.
Okay, so Kaylee is, I want to put this out there in case anybody is looking for a goalie for their soccer or football team, depending on where you are. And she is amazing at catching from the air. She'll dive, she'll swat it, anything, like little ball up little pieces of paper, and it's her favorite thing. And she'll like guard a bag or a box, and you know, you can't get anything past her. So if anybody's having tryouts, please let me know, and I will send her your way.
Oh, maybe we should have a sports pathway in a future game, Michael. Yeah, that's right. We talked about that when we were trying to figure out, because we knew we were going to have a celebrity route, and I think that was one of the options, was what sort of celebrity, and we tossed around athlete, but I think we landed on movie star. An athlete in a future game, huh? I try to play games like that with Cedric, but we still haven't figured out how to catch treats when I throw them to him. he tries really hard, but he almost never catches them.
Cedric is a golden, right?
Cedric is a golden. Yeah.
I ask because Sam is likewise really terrible at this game.
Really? Do you find that Sam is like, does Sam retrieve things for you ever? Like, how, like, can you play fetch with Sam?
Yes. He came knowing Fetch, and it is his favorite game. However, his actually maybe more favorite game is to, instead of retrieve, take away things that I care about, like my shoes. I can't set down the Switch controllers because he will pick those up and carry them off.
Does he then mangle them as well, or is he just kind of carry them around?
He'll play with them a little bit. They certainly have teeth marks on them, but they're not broken. So,
yeah, Cedric's a mangler. our TV remote is just barely hanging on. Like, you can see like the exposed like light bulb that it needs to connect to the actual TV. Like, there's cracks and teeth marks. Like, it's bad. And he also did just ruin one of our carpets because he was like, "Oh, a pen. That's a great idea of a thing to chew on."
Oh my gosh. That is the one thing Sam destroys is pencils and pens.
Yeah. Oh, it was not great. It was a fun afternoon of me trying to remove the stain and then giving up and ordering a carpet off Amazon to just cover it. Well, this has been a lot of fun. Thank you guys all so much for coming here to talk about your wonderful, wonderful floofy cats. But before we leave, I wanted to give everyone a chance if you want to plug anything or tell us other places we can find you on social media or otherwise.
Yeah, so you can find me on Twitter. I am Antropy, AnnEtropy. So it's Anne with an E, Tropy, Antropy. As I said, I like puns.
So you can find me on Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, streaming. So the username is Sir Lady Sketch.
And you can find me on Twitter at AsgardianMead61, AsgardianMead61. It's a long story, the handle. So if you want to know, ask me. I mostly post about my cats or complain about my grad classes. I think my tweets are hilarious. So you should follow me, or at least like look at them and be like, wow, this person's funny.
I'm following you right now.
This has been awesome. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you. The game was fun, super fun, and everyone should play it.
Absolutely. Super cute.
Thank you.
So much fun to play the game.
Go romance a cat and help them become president.
And vote.
Yes.
Yes.
Please vote.
Please vote.
All right. I think that about does it for this month's episode. You can follow Michael and I on Twitter as well. I'm at Paul Ann Franzen.
That at Arglefunf, which is spelled exactly how it sounds. Our theme song is March of the Danger Men by Dead Monster. And
All right.
Do you have anything you would like to add?
You skipped so many things. But it's fine. We've been talking for a while. Yes, I would like to say bye, Cat President 2, and also vote. I think those things are equally important. So please do vote them. Okay, fine. Voting's more important. Do that one. All right. That's it. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
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 You'll have to bear with me for a minute as I figure out how to turn Discord off. It happened last month. There's like a minute at the end of the podcast where I'm just like clicking buttons like, okay, wait, I got this. I can figure this out. Michael and I are both too old for Discord, I think.
Down at the bottom, there's a button that says disconnect.
Yeah, I guess that's probably it, isn't it? All right. Bye.
Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Yeah.